Look at verse 16, because David learned to humbly depend on the Lord. He said this in verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord. He says, I'm going to go in your strength. I need you. I can't do it alone. That's humility. Do you know what Paul says in Colossians 3? He says that we are supposed to clothe ourselves with humility. We are supposed to consciously put on humility. How do we do that? That's an abstract thought. Right here in this 16th verse. I will only grow in the strength of the Lord. Tonight, when you go to sleep, you remember me talking about sleep and what it pictures? Sleep is a time when we lose consciousness of our world around us. It's a time where we're totally vulnerable. It's a time when we acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge we can't go on in our own strength. We have to be renewed. It's a time where we just say, we can't go on. We are so weak and so unable. That's a time when we should remember the Lord and say, Lord, as I can no longer go in physical strength, help me not to live a moment in my own spiritual strength, because I don't really have any. I can try, but the arm of the flesh will always fail. When we get up in the morning, it's the same time. You're coming right out of that unconsciousness, out of that needed sleep. And when you start the morning, you say, Lord, I need you. I can only go in your strength. I can't make it on my own. And that is learning to humbly depend on the Lord. But what would keep us from doing this? Just for a moment, I want you to think about how we would fail to live like David. Here are some attitudes that steal this future tense, humble dependence on the Lord. Number one, we won't end well unless we resist the attitude of exceptionism. Do you know what exceptionism is? That's when I think that my life or my situation or my current struggle is an exception to God's word. And when I have exceptionism, I can hear the word of God preached. I can hear the word of God shared. But what I say is, I excuse myself from doing anything for heaven because you don't understand my past, or you don't understand the pain I'm in right now, or you don't understand my poverty, or I have a poor self-image, so I can't do that. The problem of exceptionism can erase Christ's well done, because Jesus didn't say that my strength is sufficient in your weakness except for that weakness, or my grace is sufficient to carry you through except for that problem. Or he says, I can totally give you a life of new beginnings except for that past. He says, my grace is made perfect in whatever your weakness is. Don't allow the attitude, that flaming dart of the evil one to enter your mind, that you're an exception to the rule, that you're an exception to God's word. He said, no, you're not an exception. I'm not either. Secondly, we won't end well unless we resist the habit of assuming our own superiority. This is when we constantly think that we're more right than anyone else. And that is not having this, I will go in the strength of the Lord, verse 16 attitude. It's not humble dependence. There's an element of pride of always thinking, I am right. It's when we have the habit of thinking that we are going to build ourselves up by tearing down someone else. And there's kind of, as Paul calls it, he says, watch out for the debaters. There's some people who have to be right on everything. I mean, they'll debate about store coupons. I mean, they'll debate about stuff they don't even know about because there's this internal attitude of superiority. And that militates against God's grace. Because God will not tolerate any habits we maintain of building up ourselves by tearing others down and thinking we're superior. We won't end well unless we resist the constant impulse to promote ourselves. Just as God resists the proud, so he resists any tendency that we have to take credit for things that were really the idea or work of others, and most of all, that were for God's glory. The Lord says, my glory I'll share with no one. And I'll resist you if you proudly want the credit. If you proudly are just waiting to hear some acknowledgement of yourself in the equation, God says, I want you out of the equation. I want you to decrease so that I may increase. Remember John the Baptist, John 1, or John 3, as he said, he must increase, I must decrease. That concept of us decreasing and Christ increasing is this clothing ourselves with humility. We won't end well unless we resist the ease with which we hold a grudge over the slights that we've been guilty of committing ourselves? Do you hold a grudge because someone slighted you, and yet you're so upset that someone else won't forgive you for doing the same thing to them? The Lord says if we don't forgive others, we face the tormentors. Read sometime Matthew 18. It's a little lesson in the consequence engine. Here on earth, there is a consequence to having an unforgiving spirit. It quenches the spirit, grieves the spirit, and brings about an anguish in our lives. And we need to not hold grudges. We won't end well unless we resist our uncanny ability to rationalize. In verse 16, David said, I'll only go in the future in the strength of the Lord. But sometimes we don't want to go in the strength of the Lord. We justify and excuse what we do. And at the same time, while others do the same things, even over the same issues, we're unsympathetic and judgmental with them. We say, it's okay for me. But then when they do it, we point it out. And we're so prone to do that. We rationalize our own weaknesses and point out everyone else's. And that is not this humble strength of the Lord prompted life. And of course, all this means we won't end well unless we resist all the unmortified pockets of pride in our life. Last week on our fellowship Sunday, I said that it's terrible to come out of a church unedified, unenergized, and unmortified. What do pockets of pride look like in our lives? It's when we're proud of our intellect, when we secretly enjoy the wonderful way that we can command whatever we're good at. We're proud of our achievements. We're proud of our giftedness. We're even proud of our goodness. You know, remember the publican and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee says, I'm glad I'm not as bad as him, or I'm not even like him. I don't do all those things. That's pride of goodness, which God hates. He calls it filthy rags, our own righteousness. We must not have pockets of pride in our life because it erases Christ saying, well done.